have a lot of members in the our guests from the department as well as the actually we do have today the representative from the province of KZN. And I think the metro is also is with us today. And our agenda is very, very short because these are the issues that we have been overseeing at the portfolio committee. And I believe that the province has also studied our report, and it's not going to be difficult for them to respond to those issues, as well as the metro. The metro is going to assist us on their expenditure, their budget expenditure on the USDG for 2011-12. Unfortunately, they already end of the year, financial year, for their final end of the financial year as local government. And yes, and then the second item will be the adoption of the long standing report of the Eastern Cape oversight. I think we have been postponing it for quite a long time. Now we have to adopt it today. With those viewers, I wish to welcome everyone. And I know that some of us are very tired. We have been to the Eastern Cape, some we're enjoying the snow there. But I wish we could we should have gone this week, so that you can see the snow in cockpit and the mountain. And we also wish to welcome some of the members who have been sick. I understand that Honorable Duncan is also going to be admitted next week. So you have our own full support from the committee. And I believe that Honorable Harute is one of going to maybe to follow you if things are not coming better for her. But let's hope she's going to be better, she's going to receive appropriate treatment. The lost and found is amongst us today, and he's also welcome, Honorable Bula.
Sanbona, ngikukhetha amabala athole. ilo alayeli komiti ukusaphila.
Good morning, I'm Patty Duncan, member of this committee, and Chairperson, thank you very much for the good wishes. Much appreciated.
Ah, there it is. Excellent. Good morning, Steven Mukhalapa from Gauteng, Fani, member of the committee. Molino, Mduwalando Machoba, ilungile le committee.
Morning everyone, my name is Dorothy Lavuta. We are in Mpumalanga, Eswatini region, the southern province in the country.
My name is Leah Pozoa. I am the researcher for the committee.
Thank you very much. Oh,
Mr. Leah. Thank you, Mr. Elijah Bele, from the KZN Department of Human Settlements.
Do Zungu also KZN Human Settlements, Secretary Eshwati. Good morning. Good morning. Morning. My name is Winston Oaks from the Provincial Department of Human Settlements. Thank you.
My name is Tim Nobatan. I am from the Office of the DG. May I take this opportunity to also express apology from the DG. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Sam Jaoke from National Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Mararam Tege from National Human Settlement.
Good morning. My name is Revelation Mudisunyan from National Human Settlement.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Chilesha from PNG.
Good morning. My name is Bulla Kamangweni, Committee Assistant.
Hello, Honorable Chairman. My name is Lukanyu Loja from Salka. I would like to take this opportunity, Madam Chair, since it is Women's Month, and congratulate our African women, Kamala Mabuska.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Sean Solomon. I'm from the National Department of Human Settlements in the Office of the DG. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nepal Kundisi from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Adrian Peters. I'm the Head of Engineering from the Itekwini Municipality.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Ken Brisk. I'm from the Engineering Unit. The Engineering Unit, Itekwini Municipality.
Can we get the presentation from the KZN? But I think Honorable must register that KZN, we are very serious about the acting position. You can take that message back to your principal. Because we are now the Mr. Novata, but about a time, Novata 7, the Arabina, a situation on a Babana passion. Then at the end of the day, who acted for more than 6 years, 6 months, that thing is totally unacceptable. People must take a decision. When will we start acting? This month? Oh, okay. So we are taking note of that. We are going to monitor. We are going to monitor the process. How long is this going to take to appoint a fully dedicated HOT? As soon as that last set up, and then I record, and I record, and that's about what is going on. Yeah. Okay. You are given the opportunity.
Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Mr. Fele is going to take us through the report. We've taken instance of the comments that were made to the last meeting, and we've gone through the proper research, and we've detailed progress of each and every item here.
Thanks, sir. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Just say, omunye waba actor at Winchester. Unfortunately. Even for 2 years now. I'm serious. Honourable Members, I think from in May, sometimes we made a presentation and the comments from the Honourable Members was that the report was too broad and general and did not drill into the specific sites that the members or the areas that the members visited during the oversight visit. And we went back to look at the report and we picked most of the areas that were visited in each district. This visit was between the 27th and the 4th of March in 2011, and the following districts were visited. It was the Ekurhuleni Metro, where the members visited Cato Crest Project. They visited the transit camp with mobile facilities. They visited Howell Heights building. They visited Kennedy Road informal settlement, Kwamash Hostel, MJ Benny and Namibia Stock Aid Project, and there was a meeting with Abahlali baseMjondolo as well. Also in Sesonga District Municipality, the members visited the Riverside Project and Clydesdale Project, which was a PHP. In Mgundlovu, it was Mgundlovu District Municipality, it was Imbali 1 at 19, Imbali Unit 13, Phase 4, and there was a meeting with the Registrar of Deeds. Tamboville, Northeast Sector, Impumelelo Project, France, Wadedin, Nasegorit. In Utugela, it was the Sanchez Project, Section East Lamb Clearance Project, Tembalihle Disaster Project, Emajuba, it was a Street Bank, a Block Project, Nawamatuza Project. With regard to the progress that we are reporting now in with terminal issues, the Cato Crest being one of the informal settlement areas just outside on the west side of the city. That project is a very dense informal settlement, and the construction of houses now is happening. But we are considering with due to the lack of sufficient land, and we're trying by all means to accommodate as many people as we can in terms of building units. The issue of intensification by way of high-rise buildings so that we maximize the space, we are considering and we are dealing with the municipality. We're working on that because the initial plan was freestanding units, but due to the land issue, we are considering the high-rise. They do have some implications on additional funding over and above the normal subsidy quantum, because we've got staircases that you have to provide. We are working on that, and we are discussing with how can we utilize the fund, the USDG, to also cater for that. And also we find that with those people, when they are profiled, the beneficiaries, some of the people are not qualifying in the normal subsidy. And those people, we are looking at issue a finance-linked subsidy program that we had. There was an issue of the policy which has been resolved now with regard to FLISP. And now we are saying in this project, at least 5% of the area which should be set aside for these people in the care market and have MFIs are serviced in that area. In terms of the transit camps, the transit camp municipality has installed, because there was the issue of the issue of e-waste, which was not did not have a designated area to put the space for the team to collect, and that was creating health hazard in that transit camp. The municipality, there is a demarcated area now within the transit camp that is used for dumping points, and 5 dumping points are there, and then they are made up of blocks, and the people there, they deposit all the refuse there, and it gets taken by debt and solid waste on a weekly basis. In terms of informal settlement, Kennedy Road, that informal settlement is what it is, an informal settlement that is quite often it's affected by AMA 5 disasters, and you may hear for most of the time. And that informal settlement is one of the informal settlements that have been identified to the beneficiaries to be relocated to a Cronopia project, which is currently underway. And with regards to these disasters that keep on affect fire disasters of the angle and all those things that make the informal settlement disaster in the air, the Etchegwini municipality together with the department, we do respond very quickly if there are disasters in the air by way of assisting those people to have a shelter while we are dealing with the Cornopia project, which is underway, and I'm going to talk about it as we go along. Guamashu Hostel, also there was also an issue that was observed around the maintenance of the hostel and some pipes that were burst in the hostel. The Edewin municipality is managing the maintenance, and the department we provide the funding to the municipality to attend to the maintenance of his hostel with other hostels as well, and the maintenance is being undertaken. With regard to Emjabeni Ininanda project, in fact, the actual name of the project is Amdiwe, and it is adjacent to Emjabeni because the Emjabeni project is part of this Namibia Stock Aid, where we call it Greenfield, and the informal settlement was to be used the Greenfield to be used to move people on the way of services. This one in Amadiwe, there are preliminary assessments that have been done, and the preliminary assessment was done by the inspector of the department, but it's an old project which was done in the between 1994 and 2002. It's one of those old projects. In fact, the houses are small. And what I think the councillor was alluding to was that these houses need to be rectified. I think it was a question of looking at these houses like we do with the rectification houses, where we rectify the defects, the structural defects of the houses, not looking at the size. But that was coming out from the inspector's reports when they go that, you know, the structures, it's just the houses that they are small because the subsidy at the time was not sufficient to have the, because we come from 20 square meter houses, now we're at the 40 square meter houses. So the counselor there was of the view that these houses were not good, but comparing with the new houses that are done now. But we did the assessment through the, and we are engaging with NHPRC as well to have another opinion on this project. The last part is that we are engaging UNHPRC as well to confirm whether is there a structural defect on these houses, because we have done well. Immediately when we engage NHPRC, we have to pay pay the cost. We initially started to use our internal inspectors, departmental inspectors, to go and do an assessment, preliminary assessment on those houses. In Namibia Stock Aid, this is a PHP project, People's Housing Process Project. I think on that one, I don't think there were issues. It was a question of members wanting to know whether is there, are we intending to replicate such a project in other areas where the community, the beneficiaries themselves, they were putting sweat equity on the project, and they were also contributing to the size, increasing the size of the house. And this project has also been one of the projects that won in provincial government Bailey Awards recently. So we are looking at other projects to replicate this model of a PHP where the communities come together, the beneficiaries, and they are part of the construction of their houses. With regard to Econubia, the phase 1A is under construction. The internal services are about 30% complete. There are 60 units that are completed, and 135 units are at roof level. The occupation is targeted for January 2013 because the issue of the beneficiaries and also with the services, even currently, even if we were to say some people can go there, there are social issues such as schools, not there, the transport, the roads are being constructed, and the site is under construction. Even if there are units that are complete, you cannot put people there because people need also to have things like transport and municipal schools. So with the steering committee that's looking into this project, the other departments, and also this project has been presented to the committee of all heads of departments of various departments in the province and the cabinet, and there is a commitment from all departments to contribute to this project by way of setting aside our budgets, the critical one also being the Department of Transport as well. So they are, and as a department, we will be making sure that we facilitate that things happen, because once the units are completed, and also there's pressure from the communities and from the likes of Kennedy Road informal settlement that gets affected by our fire disasters all the time. So there is that push. Maybe one would think that in the meantime we could push things of once the roads are completed, and also once we may talk to the Department of Education, let's say maybe to have maybe like a primary school, because there are existing schools in the area, in Ottawa and Verulam and Mountescom, they are about 2 kilometers away from the area, but you can see that the small kids, they cannot walk. Maybe if you can have a primary school, that maybe those that goes in the high school or secondary school, they can travel in the meantime. So we are discussing all that, giving those options to the Department of Education. With regards to Abahlali baseMjondolo, this is a group that is a federated fed up. We call them fed up. They are the leaders of urban poor. We do have a meeting that we have started, as they mentioned that the province and the municipality, we sit with them, and most of them, especially those that were displaced by the road reserve MR577, that were put in transit camps, and those that are living in those informal settlements to VA NICA school, they are in various areas. We do have meetings, ongoing meetings with them, and we sit, and we have agreed that while we are waiting for them to get into proper houses, in terms of the issues of basic services like the access roads, the provision of water, and also the light, because also one of the things was the issue of crime, and the municipality have provided some long lights in the area.
We don't have the slides. If we can get the slides.
Sorry, members. Maybe on a. Oh. Oh, Abashalba and John Dolo leaders that were met with the honorable members at the visit, we do have meetings, but one of the issues they were raising was the issue one. The critical issue is housing, as we all know, yes. No. But they, as we are, they are one of those people that are considered as well to the project that is for relocation. Some of them will be relocated. Some of them, once the area is free, the little plots of land that they live in, if it's found suitable, of which very little of it is suitable, but currently we are saying what they are waiting, they need those basic services that they need to, like water access road, and then one of the issues was the issue of crime. They needed lights in one of the settlements. And then Etiwini Municipality have provided that that service, and also with the use of USDG, where you come in and provide them a basic services to the informal settlements, but not meaning that they are going to be staying there permanently. It's just that while, because life does not have a coma, you can't say we're waiting, they need to have these basic services. So we are engaging with Abashalba from John Doe. We have our meetings with them so that we understand their objective there. Also, their vision is to assist in having people settled in a decent manner as well. So they are part of the stakeholders. And I think the Honorable Committee also visited Isisonga District Municipality. The Riverside Project was visited there. And then what we can report is that Riverside Phase 1 Project, construction of 470 units is complete. And Riverside Phase 2, the approval for installation of bikes, because there those projects have been affected badly by issues of bikes, where houses were built without the bikes being installed. And Department of Water Affairs have approved the installation of bikes, and the Isisonga District Municipality is currently finalizing mud designs and have started the procurement process for someone to install for the service provider to install AMA services. So, Chair, as all those, most of the projects in the Sesonga district and all other areas, the issues of bulk, where AMA district municipalities would say when the project is initiated, they will write a letter committing that, no, we will provide the bulk, we support the project. But when it comes to the construction, finding that the district municipality will turn around and say, hey, there is no money, we don't have money. So those are some of the challenges that one has been coming across with. The Clydesdale project also, which is a PHP project, it's the same thing, AMA bulks were the issue, and this is the project that when the area changed from Eastern Cape, and it started when the project was falling under Eastern Cape province, and then it was taken over in the province, it had these challenges, and then the bars, but now the bars are underway, and they are to be completed, I think, by October from what the report that we gave from our team that's working in the district. Where the funding for the ratification then will be just provided, and once the bars are finished, and then we'll embark on the ratification on this project. The other project, the EBC project, that is one of the projects that members also visited, it was also the same issue of the bulk, which I think now is going to unlock all other issues. That was because the bulk are being installed right now. And then we will consider the issue of the rectification once it's finished. It was in Sisonga district. In Mgungundlovu, the members visited Imbali Ward 19. There was an issue there of the old lady who was living in the old office space with 9 children. And that lady has been housed now at Edendale Tea Section, and they are living there she's living there with the kids now. It's one of the areas where the department committed to quickly assist and intervene and assist, which has with regard to Imali, was it Unit 13 Phase 4, there was the issue regarding the payment of the contractor, which there was a record that was made, compiled, explaining why the contractor was not paid, the particular contractor. The issue was the project had an implementing agent who was not paying the contractors who were doing the work, and that project also even ended up having the challenges of which there was an investigation also by the IFU is also even currently looking at that project, but also the department internally has commissioned a professional team to undertake, because it came out that at some stage there was a shortage of a budget on the project, but the project was not completed. So the professionals and engineers, quality surveyors, they are also putting together a report. They have provided the draft report. They were going to a unit by unit into this project, but also alongside the SIU is also investigating this project. At Humberville Northeast Sector, the preliminary studies have been completed for this project, and the detailed planning is going to be commencing now in October. There will be the layout of the project will reserve the sites for social amenities such as schools and crèches. The Umsundu municipality is currently providing temporary toilets and cleaning them twice a week, because there was also an issue of a health hazard in the area as well in that informal settlement. The municipality has also indicated that there are access roads to the informal settlement, because there were no access roads at the time when the members visited. The Impumele project, the Umsunduzi municipality has finalized the designs for the installation of waterborne sanitation for the community, and the ROD is expected to be issued by the end of this month, which is August. The installation of services is expected to commence in January 2013 to start the installation of services. Also in France, Ward 13, this is part of this wire project that I have explained, chair of the rectification project, where the department have appointed these professionals to undertake a detailed study on financial and technical requirements. The report is expected by October, and the construction is expected to resume in December, by December. Also in Mgungundlo, in Oribi, the department is working with Umsunduzi municipality to formalize the township so that AMA transfer can be effected, because there was an issue of AMA transfers to the beneficiaries not taking place. The issue was that there was no township register, was not open, there is no layout plan on that project. So the department, we're working with the municipality to formalize that township so that we start the transfer for title deeds. The members also visited to Tugela District Municipality. There was also a concern on the project of the Sanchez project of social and economic amenities. There was a community hall and a crash and some business units there. The center is now at the moment being looked after by the municipality to prevent vandalism on the project, while the application of electricity is put on hold. Because that project, in fact, the program of social and economic amenities in the province was affected by some contractual issues, and some there were some contractors and the program managers. So the department had to put some control and use appoint some people to investigate on the matter, which I think the report has been finalized, is due to be presented to MEC and acting HOT, I think, before the end of the month, because yesterday I was told that the service providers have completed the work. Section E, slum clearance. The construction of 142 units replacing mud houses is complete. The municipality has provided 10 pipes of water while the Uthukela district is augmenting Amabark's bulk water supply. All units are enrolled with NHBRC. And regarding the issue of aprons, the department is considering a policy or to include aprons as part of the specification of the proposal. Currently, subsidy quantum does not provide for the aprons on the subsidy quantum. So we are in discussion with National, and these are issues that we table even at when we have meeting the technical minimum. Itembali is a disaster project. The municipality has identified another piece of land where people would be relocated because that area where it was, some most people were living in a floodplain. So when they were affected by a disaster, they could not be provided with some shelter where they are, permanent shelter. The issue is they need to be relocated. There is a land that is closer to where they are that has been negotiated, and the land is well located for human settlement. With regard to Amajuba district, there was this project which was blocked, this spray bank project, and there was also a land issue which since now has been resolved. And the ownership has been transferred to the provincial government, and the process of now transferring that piece of land to the municipality. But the issue of the poor roads that was observed by members when the members visited the area has been addressed. The access roads now have been upgraded. With regard to Wamthumuza project in New Hassel, they are currently, because that project was, the area was affected by a severe storm which took place between 2008 and 2009. And the project now is underway in rebuilding those houses, and the 504 units have been completed. UNHPRC is also involved for quality control on the project. And last week, the project, there was a launch on the project in commemoration of Women's Month. And there are 56 units that are being built now as part of the 1,956 houses that will be built in the province. These houses are built for the vulnerable beneficiaries, women which are part of the area in the project. In Zululand district, there was Imojane issue. The issue of the ownership of houses on those houses on this project, Imojane. There are two projects, it's Imojane and Mutan. The Imojane one, the municipality have appointed service provider to work on the project, and that municipality also has got challenges in its capacity to deliver. And with the Imojane housing, the department has taken up developer status on the project. And the MEC has just approved funds to unblock the project. And the construction of houses in there is anticipated to start by November this year. And there was Wakumbi, low-income housing project. These people were part of the project that benefited from a land reform project where they got back land. And there has been a consultation with the traditional leadership and the stakeholders in the area. And now it has been agreed that we need to appoint and implement, we are going to appoint an implementing agent together with the community and the municipality to start packaging the low-income housing project where the traditional leadership and the community is also supporting that they will need a project in the area. This one. With regard to land mobilization, Chairperson, there are a number of projects that become stalled due to land claims and land issues. And then we are having a draft memorandum of understanding between HDA and the department now. And from what the report that one got from land administration component and contracts is that they are to sign this memorandum MOA with HDA by end of this month. There is a continued engagement with the rural development and land reform with regard to the leasing of state land, and we are in ongoing engagement. Our former HOD has been sitting with the meetings with those with the department. And then with regard to this, also the purchase of land from private owners in Mlambithi for human settlement is also underway, where we are engaging among private land owners to get the land to for projects. With regard to Edumbe as well, the Edumbe municipality with the Department of Rural and Land Reform have also signed the development rights agreement with the Edumbe municipality, and there are currently three potential projects that are earmarked to start by next financial year. This was one of the municipalities where projects, human settlements, where people could not be provided with houses because the land that are settling in is their privately owned land. So that matter of unlocking the issue of land has been done, and then we are looking at the projects, and there are engagements with the community and the municipality. With regard to a disaster, a disaster has happened, and then there are many, we have some backlogs from the previous year's disasters. And there are houses, with regard to Abakulusi, I think my apologies, Chair, on that bullet point. I don't think we'll have it on the handouts that you had, because we had to quote it. There was this the handout on this bullet point on houses that are built in Ward 5 in Abakulusi. I know members had also a discussion or visited the area, and Abakulusi area called Wamnyat, under Councillor Untombe. There was also a concern that there were so many people that were affected by disasters. Let me say, Chair and Honourable Members, with regard to Amat disasters, when they happen, we as a Department of Human Settlement, there are departments that come first, like Department of Social Development, with some food buses, with AMA tents as a first intervention. And then we go and do the assessment and verification to say who was affected, who needs a rebuild of a house, who needs a repair of a house. And that process, we do it via provincial disaster management under the Department of Court. And also to avoid the issue of, say, getting AMA list all over, we have this kind of control to say, we as the Department of Human Settlement, we will receive the list from UCOPA. If there is any amendment, we will say cost, because the moment we go out and receive a list from even from a councillor, from a municipality, from it begins now to become clumsy, and then everyone, and then so we are saying we rely on the Department of UCOPA provincial disaster to say, and in this particular case, there were lists that were submitted, and we did the assessment and all these 104. And then after that, the councillor keep on coming to say, no, there are these people who were left out. Oh, there are these people who were left out. And then it becomes, and then the other thing that happened is that the councillor was not even submitting those via the municipality to have the council resolution to the council, yes. We confirm that no, these are the people who were erroneously maybe left out, and then we, so there is that situation where we can, and we engage with the community and we can't what community all the time. So there is that situation, but 140 houses have been built for those people, and if there is any, we ask the old Department of Order, and they have a similar problem that they are tracing between who can the what councillor and the municipality to say if there are lists, it has to properly verify. Because in one area we found that in other municipalities, the councillor was calling people after the disasters, calling them to the hall. And then you will find even, for instance, Mr. Tell walking in. And when our inspectors go to verify where Mr. Tell is, you won't find that house. Because Mr. Tell was just passing on the road, he had that there are people called in the hotel, in the hall, who was affected, and everyone say, yes, I was affected. So those kind of controls that we do something, and that in this particular fact, we are not ignoring them. we say we will verify, go to you and see if the person is affected. We see a disaster, as you know, we have just become the province, one of the disaster-prone areas, and there is also the issue that we really maybe need, because we did not have in the department a dedicated unit for disaster management. I think in our new structure, looking at that, because these things have become a yearly event now. Like now, this morning, we were phoning back home, they were saying it's pouring, it's been pouring the whole night. So we are expecting that things. So we need that time, the unit that's going to be looking at working with COCTA and the district municipalities, and also in our budget for in our conditional grant funding, we need to set aside our budget that are looking at it. Because in winter, it's fires. In summer, it's storm, rain. So it's happening almost two seasons. So the issue of the houses is where do you find that some of the houses, the disaster come in an area where there is a project underway. So we have to, or maybe they come in an area where it's not earmarked for a project for this financial year. So we have to reroute some of the, and that affects some other people who are waiting for the houses. So those are some of the issues. These are practical dynamics which we need to work around them. And we have also, in terms of responding quickly, we have just said, let us have a database of service providers. Yes, we underwent a proper procurement process, and we came up with a group of 15 service providers in the province that we would say, if there's a disaster, we'll immediately say, once we've done assessment, we've done all the paperwork, we immediately say, go and intervene. So we don't wait, because some of the backlog that happened because of the procurement process that we could not bypass, so and then it contributed to the backlog. So we just dealt with it by having these service providers that were engaging for a period of 2 years. The performance of the implementing agents also was part of the issue when some of the houses take long to finish. And then with the provincial treasury, we looked at a contract. We looking at how best can we manage our contracts, managing our implementing agents. One of the things that has come up is that many of the implementing agents have been issued with the letters of breach, and some of them have been dismissed in the past year. And some of them have taken us also to court, and then there are court cases where they are just appealing and saying that, no, it's unfair. So we're dealing with that because most of the IAA really, they were feeling not properly managed in terms of the contracts. So, and also with our newly appointed quality assurance inspector, we are intensifying the issue of managing our houses as they are being built and ensuring the issue of equality. And also in some cases, we do demolish. Once our inspectors come in, the contractor is busy, they just make them demolish houses. So the department also is working with the issue of planning. We have shortened what the previous issue of planning would take even about 18 months to 24 months, and then we have said in the department, if there is everything, that the stops are there, the regional studies are there, why is it taking so long? Rather, it takes at most 6 months for the service, and then we are intensifying the issue of managing. And with the district offices that have been established in all districts, and the planners that have been appointed by the department to manage this, we are hoping that the turnaround is going to be shortened. So the projects under implementation, we want to make this implementation IAs to be accountable. The hostels share a little bit of a challenge. I think our colleagues in the table, they know the hostels issue of payment of the rent, and also the model of the CRU model, which proved to be a little bit expensive and not effective for two people. But we are engaging and looking at how best we can, because people are living there. And then there is a win with the largest hostels. We have acknowledged the problem, and there was recently in June, there was a turnaround strategy workshop, which we hope that strategy will also be able to help to unlock the problem.
The department is currently also working with the Umjezi on the Equest Hostel and Umvoti Municipality on Inhalagash, and those projects also they cause the health hazard as well, the way people are living there. Well, we have the monitoring and evaluation unit that has just been established. It's working, and we're hoping that with all the issue of reporting and also trying to get to honorable members in the parliament and all to see what's happening, and so that even members, when you members take undertake oversight visit, the information that you have, it talks to what you will see on the ground. That has been lacking, and we knew that we did not have the monitoring and evaluation unit. We have a fully fledged unit now, and it's functioning. We are pulling, we're working hard to pull all the information that is going to show that the money that we are giving and where we take the money, where the money goes to, and also to on the ground what's happening. I think with that, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Especially with regards to the strong, we've had also a president visiting the EPs just to see what has already been done in terms of bus infrastructure. That's the end of July, part of their shoulder intervention. So, yeah, because this area, as we know, bus in that area has been a major stumbling block for the human settlement situation. But we've worked very well with the district municipality now. And I can say to the committee, one really will be seeing quite a number of projects, because we've got quite a number of projects that have been held back by having those valves in place. And the alignment now that we've found just to work with them for the past month, now obviously budget is also coming in. But as well, also one is looking at the USDG funding for the atomic metros, like we said, to the Ilembe regions, and all of those, because most of the informatic plans that are along those lines are also affected by issues of having to have bus, because districts also need to provide for rural areas, they also have to provide for the informal settlement. So that's why the department has said, let's prioritize all of those areas of Mshatu and Kulua living along the stream, a system and a department to interlock bus through the SDG. So we hope we'll be able to unlock quite a number of speedy delivery of informal settlements, because it's quite a concern if you look at the old coastal area from top to the South Coast. Those are still the major elements that are affecting us. And that's where most of the disasters do come in that case, because people are living along the streams, and it's a major concern. But as well, we've started working with Amakosi now. In fact, today we're also addressing the new leadership of Amakosi. We have had major elections in the whole province of KwaZulu-Natal. And now, with regard to the whole element, as we're here last time, we're encouraged to go back and engage with regard to the issues of densification and all of those issues. So we've started now to really address at the local levels in the houses, and we're given the mandate by the leadership in the province that to say they welcome us to really start the training even the office in Duna, and have proper settlement plans coming in now even at the local level, because in Duna are the ones who give the allocations. And our courts have given us that kind of mandate to say go to our houses and sit down with our newly elected structures and take them through, because we've got quite a number of projects now in various regional and areas. So I just wanted to say, as much as it's not in this report, but the main issue that were raised in this committee, that we have said, let's go in and really start putting it up there. So everything, as much as it's not covered here, but we've really integrated to our work. Thank you.
Necessary to Thank you. I would like to preface our presentation by extending an apology for the mishap that happened in the last session of the committee. Some of our officials arrived late and leading to basically postponement of our presentation. And for that, we sincerely apologize, and we hope that that will not happen. Yeah. My colleague Ken will leave the presentation, and will thereafter engage in terms of questions and clarification. Thanks.
Well, good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Committee members. I understand that the presentations that you had in front of you, that there was some problem with the printing, and so some of you had the full presentation of 19 pages and others the presentation at the end of page 12. So apologies for that. I ask that you can follow the presentation. If you don't have all the pages, if you can follow the presentation on the screen. After sending the presentation to you, we did some fine-tuning, so there's small aspects of the slides which have been modified. And I suppose with the complexity when you're dealing with finances, etc., some of this kind of thing can be affected. So when I was asked to do the presentation, the National Department said, please, can we We'll do just a few slides on what the overall strategy is for the metro, and then get into the detail of the USDG spend and what that USDG spend is delivering. So a couple of slides in the beginning dealing with strategy and the status quo. So let's just talk a little bit about the spatial landscape in Itakwini. On the screen you see the metro area with the two national roads, M3 terminating in the port, and the primary employment areas are in blue. So the southern industrial basin around the port area is our single largest formal employment area, and it's still generating in order of 60% of employment in metro. And this is one of our strategic challenges because for some areas in particular, there is a spatial separation of work and of employment area and residence. And this is what causes a significant spend of the household budget, what Kasata referred to as the social wage, large proportion of money that gets spent on traveling to and from, if you're fortunate to have a job, traveling to and from home to work. And if you don't have a job, it makes it very difficult to access the formal employment areas because they're long travel time and expenses. And then also the juncture in many respects of our large informal settlement areas and the prevalence or the provision of adequate social facilities, the full range of social facilities. So those are issues that we are very aware of. The intention around the USDGs, start orienting that USDG spend, start tackling some of these critical areas, around poverty, the social wage, as well as shelter and access to services. So you can see the informal dwellings are in the red color. And in some respects, if you look at the southern area, the greater and larger area, they're quite well situated in relation to formal employment. So that's probably one of the better areas from the relationship of formal employment to residential areas. Pinetown South, similarly, quite close to Pinetown, the formal area, employment area of Pinetown. But the northern area is really where the big spatial disjuncture occurs. If you've got the single largest concentration of informal dwellings in the greater Inanda and Tuzuma Kumashi area, but we've got very little formal employment in the northern area. And so that's one of the reasons, apart from the fact that they're good, there's a relatively flat coastal plain in the northern area, and so the northern expansion of the metro in terms of its growth path is to the north, both taking up the land opportunities as well as dealing with this juncture of large township areas and informal settlement areas being far from formal employment. The informal settlements, in terms of households, they contain 35% of the metropolitan households, a very large number of households. We've got a population in the order of 3.6 million people, about 950,000 households, and 35% of those households are in informal settlements. If you look at the pink area, which is the rural dwellings, they occupy 10% of the households, but they occupy almost 70% of the land area. And this is one of the challenges that we have because we've got low density, in most respects, low density dispersed settlements in our rural areas, which makes them quite difficult to serve with engineering infrastructure because you've got long lengths of infrastructure, high unit costs, and similarly for social services. Very difficult to develop the thresholds for social services. Social services that have any scale to it. So in terms of the cost norms, much higher costs to serve the rural areas than to serve many of the more urban informal settlement areas. Now, it's very important for a municipality to understand what is the need of its communities, the people that we serve. And we've done a number of surveys, and this is an excerpt out of the Quality of Life survey. And shows you that there are a significant number of issues other than housing that are on the agenda of community. A lot of them are sitting around the employment, job creation, skills sort of package, and then around the electricity and sanitation, water provision to informal settlements. You know, there's a mix of issues that are coming up here, and as technical people, we have to try and unpack those and understand them, and then to say, how is our strategy talking to some of the issues that communities are voicing? So it's just to raise that there are other issues other than shelter which come into the way in which communities are perceiving their quality of life. Now, from a strategy perspective, we've done some assessments. We've looked at our numbers, and if you have a look at the housing situation, so let me deal with that top block to start off with. We've only got a 58% coverage, so we've got a 42% backlog of formal housing in the metro. It's a big number. So that's the informal and the rural components. And that backlog is sitting at over 400,000. Now, just in the last couple of years, our delivery rates have been going down for a whole host of reasons, and we really need to gear up that project pipeline to have more projects in the project pipeline, so that if you have hold-ups on projects, that there's other projects that you're feeding into the barrel. But if you were to take that backlog of 400,000 odd, and let's say we're delivering at 5,000 units per annum, which certainly our counselors believe is way too little. But if we're delivering at 5,000, it's going to take 80 years to eliminate that backlog. If we deliver at 10,000, it's going to take 40 years to eliminate the backlog. So you can see, even if we upscale, because currently our delivery is just under 4,000 units per annum, but historically it's been up to 16, 20,000 per annum. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is that one needs to be aware of what the size of the scale of the backlog is, what your resources are that are available, and how do you target those resources in order to deal with poverty, poor quality of life that many residents, you know, 400,000 households are experiencing. And a technical view is that we're spending too much on housing. There's too much debt in the housing package. So you're spending the vast majority of resources on very few households. And it's an issue that the Portfolio Committee needs to engage with in order to say, well, where should we be putting resources? Because the numbers are indicating, if you go down to the second block, if you look at the sanitation and electricity figures, those figures that are ringed with those red circles, from a sanitation perspective, we've got a 75% coverage. So 25% or 230,000 odd dwellings don't have access to sanitation. From an electricity perspective, the coverage is even worse. And the bulk of these backlogs are sitting in informal settlements. So there's an issue here around resource allocation, because our current programs on providing services to informal settlements, those current programs are delivering for every formal RDP house that you're building, for that equivalent value, you could be serving between 5 and 10 informal settlements with a set of basic services. And considering the backlog that we have, from a technical perspective, that is a far better strategy from a social justice perspective, from a quality of life perspective, a moral, ethical perspective. So we've looked at the numbers, and that's what it's saying technically. Now, it's quite a difficult road to be able to follow, because you've got a lot of pressure coming from the councillors to push money into the top structure, and we started a program of delivering to the informal settlements a set of basic services, ablution blocks, formal stormwater and drainage, so that people can access their dwellings. And we've got a very wet summer, and so you can imagine what the quality of life is. You're slipping and sliding in the mud to get to your very informal dwelling. So we're putting in concrete stairs with stormwater channels, ablution blocks, formal ablution blocks, and electricity to each dwelling. And that kind of package, from a strategic perspective, is a far better spend in the circumstances of limited resources and very big backlog. So just to summarize what the development agenda is, what we would certainly like to see is to rapidly upscale the servicing of informal settlements. In the next 5 years, if we were to put more money into servicing informal settlements, we'd make a much bigger dent in quality of life, rather than upscaling our housing delivery. But it's a political issue. Then to use our well-located land for high-intensity use, to start bringing in the more than a double-story row house, to go to 3-4-story, because we've got limited land in strategic locations, that is cost implications. And that hasn't been ironed out. Who's going to pay? Currently, if we go for a double-story row house, it costs the municipality 40,000 rand a unit more than a traditional single-story house. And that's a lot of money when you multiply it by a couple of thousand units. And that cost escalates even further if you look at a 3- or 4-story unit. We want to intensify our nodes and our urban centres and the corridor segments so that we end up with an environment where you've got mixed use, mixed land use, and higher density. So you end up with a public transport system that, first of all, is viable. We need to get to somewhere in the order of 60 to 90 dwelling units per hectare in order to get a viable public transport system. Currently, our RDP housing is delivering between 20 and 40 dwelling units a hectare. So we are way off. And if you go for the row houses, the double-story row houses, then your density goes up closer to the 40 dwelling unit mark. But your RDP houses are delivering closer to the 20 dwelling unit per hectare mark. So if you compare the 20 dwelling unit per hectare mark with the 60 to 90 dwelling units per hectare that you require for a viable public transport system. So continuing with the delivery that we're rolling out across the country is actually sticking us from a public transport point of view, and we're going to end up having very high subsidies on our public transport system if we continue with the current housing typology. And that current housing typology also doesn't give you the thresholds for local economic development for a sort of mixed, an urban environment which has a high degree of mix and variety and interest. We also want to promote the regional integration, especially in our rural areas, by focusing on specific rural nodes and then surfacing the public transport network in those rural areas. And then those who can, and to allow the switch to IT networks, so that if you are able to work at home, and you know access to an IT network will allow you to reduce your need to move, then to push that as an additional component. Promoting social integration through a range of projects, you know, that might be mixed use and income projects. I mean, a good example currently is the Cornubia project. But the social integration also comes through other areas, through having a range of settlement types within access range of schools. I mean, I know my kids, they're far more integrated than we ever were when we were at school. And so there is opportunities in education at school to have this integration, but also in our sport and recreation programs to start pushing money into those programs, because it's those kinds of opportunities where people play, where kids play sport together, where there's camaraderie, where there's, you know, there's a good social knitting that happens in that process. And then really in the long term to aim for walkable, or what I want to call short hop communities, where communities can really satisfy the bulk of their needs within walking distance. Now at the moment that's really a dream, but that's really where we should be heading to from a geographic perspective, from an urban development perspective. So there you see our public transport network and its connection, connecting those informal and rural areas into the formal employment area. So you can see there's a connection between the two strategies. These are our key urban investment locations where we should be focusing our gap in affordable housing and our rental accommodation at high density. In the bulk of the urban centres, we've got existing spare capacity in bulk infrastructure as well as social facilities, and there's already some movement on revitalizing a number of these centers. So we need to take advantage of that to bring in further housing. That's just a graphic of the issue of walking distance. We're trying to focus our development within a walking distance of public transport. And on the left-hand graphic, you can see our formal housing program. And you can see the formal housing program, a large portion of that lies outside of walking distance of our public transport network. Now, yes, you know, we can expand that public transport network, but that requires capital as well as operating subsidies. So we need to be looking for all the opportunities and prioritizing all those projects that fall within that walking distance footprint. That should be our first port of call. And then other projects come after those. So let's just have a look at what our spend was in 11-12. So I presume you've all got that in front of you on your hard copy. Let me deal with the way in which we've dealt with this table, because there's a lot of numbers there. On the left-hand side, we're looking at what the estimated impact is on the number of households. And then to the right of that, the column talks to the spend, how many millions of rand were spent. And then the right-hand column is the theme area. So if I can go down on the right-hand column, there's three major themes. First of all, there's formal housing, and then basic community services, and bulk and connected infrastructure. So let me deal with one block at a time. On the formal housing side, our densification top-up, that's allowing the double-story row houses. So it's 40,000 rand a unit, and there's 1,086 units that have been built, and that's cost us 43 million rand of the USDG fund. The servicing top-up and... Okay, so the second line down, the densification top-up, are you with me? That is costing us 43 million rand, 1,086 on the left-hand side. Then the... Madam Chair, there's a mix here because we've got other interventions which are impacting households more broadly than the top structures. So we, you would assume that...
Once you come before the portfolio committee and use your technical language, it's giving us problems. Now, I think that's going to 1+1, 2. That's it. That's all we want. Because I want to be able to make a lot. Now, I'm just disadvantaged because it's HH. My interpretation on HH is household. Now, you are saying your budget is allocated, it's 43 million that is allocated for this formal housing. And it's going to accommodate 1,086 households. So, we want to know what is household. Because household, it's a unit that keeps, for us, it keeps more than 5-10. So I'm trying to say, what is this 1,000? But in our reporting, Tina, the reporter 1+1, then we are reporting a politician. So what is this 43 million for? Is this for household or for a unit? I mean for units. That's it.
Sorry, Madam Chair, just get some clarity on this, and I'll take into account in the next time I'll create the table. The first two are talking about units. So the 43 million is giving you 1,086 units. And it's costing us 40,000 rand per unit more than a traditional unit or RDP unit. I hope I'm using the right terminology. To give us those 1,086 units. Can I continue, Madam Chair? Then the servicing top-up and some of the bulk connectors. There are 3,389 units that have been produced, and it's cost 190 million rand USDG funds. The purchase of strategic land. Now, the bulk of this land has got informal settlements on it already, but it's in strategic locations. And if one is going to have a formal housing project in those areas, one needs to acquire the land. So what we've done is we've said, okay, how many households are currently living on land, and what they do through the housing unit is they actually go and interview the residents of these units to establish how many units need to be created in the formalization process. So what we've done is we've taken the land parcels and we've got a tally of the number of households that are currently living on those land parcels. Now, with our current housing typology, the formalization process often leads to a 30 to 40% decanting of, so if you've got a parcel of land with 1,000 informal settlements, when you formalize that piece of land, you only end up accommodating 600 or 700 of those households. And you then need to find new greenfield land for the balance of the household. So the purchase of that strategic land is on the basis that we are then going to benefit 10,500 households. But then that requires that you go to a more dense typology in your implementation program. For the basic community facilities, there's a big ablution block program which has been run by the municipality. And I'll show you some pictures a little bit later of male and female ablution with toilets and showers and hand wash basins. So this is where I'm going to just give you some numbers. For each ablution block, the ratio of ablution blocks to households is 1 to 75 households. So one ablution block, 75 households. So what I've done is I've converted the number of ablution blocks that we've done to show how many households are we benefiting through that set of ablutions. The subsequent slides will tell you exactly how many ablution blocks we've actually developed. It's quite difficult with a slide like this. You don't want to put too many figures in. You want to give a sort of a strategic overview, and then the slides that are to come start breaking down each of the allocations. The interim services to informal settlements, which is what I spoke about earlier, that's your formal stormwater and formal concrete stairs through the informal settlement to allow ease of access, electricity connections to each informal dwelling, so you then work against the shack fires and the electrocutions in informal settlements, as well as ablution blocks in those informal settlements. So there's a package of services that go into those, and that package of services is called interim services. And that program is also being expanded to include a labour-based maintenance of the infrastructure using the labour from the informal settlement itself. So there we spent 8.6 million rand, and there were 3,300 households that benefited from that provision of service. The Balkan connector infrastructure, and you can see that this is really where you eat up all your money. And the major projects are coming in at approximately 470 million rand, and the minor projects at 171 million rand. Now, the difficulty with Balkan connector infrastructure is that this infrastructure often serves a large catchment. So if you put do an upgrade to a wastewater treatment works, it doesn't just serve the informal settlement communities and perhaps the township areas in that catchment. It would serve the economic areas and other residential areas. But what we've tried to bring in the USCG is to focus on projects which are allowing us to pursue projects for formal RDP housing in catchments which we wouldn't have been able to have done those projects because there was no spare capacity available. So they are projects that have been targeted for USDG funding based on the fact that they are opening up catchments for formal housing delivery and for the provision of services to informal settlements. Because what we've done over the last sort of 20 years in Itakwini, which is unfortunate in many respects, is that we have taken up, we've eaten up all the excess capacity in our bulk infrastructure. And a lot of it has to do with resource allocation. So we've followed a very big program of services to informal settlements and housing, and we've been focusing the spend on that, and we haven't been putting sufficient money into bulk infrastructure. And so now many of the areas where we have had, we used to have excess capacity, we no longer have excess capacity, so now we have to go and spend the big capital money in order to be able to release housing projects for development. So Chair, that is an overview of the spend in the three major categories, and we've had a very, very low rollover request. It's in the order, I think, of about 3%. Perhaps even a little bit lower, 2.5%. And the reason for this is that the projects that we allocated USDG funding to have been priority projects for the city because of the need to release catchments for development. So there's been a lot of dedicated capacity to these top projects. Now, the following slides deal with each of these items in a bit more detail. So I'm going to start off with the densification and then continue with the servicing pop-up, the strategic land, etc. And each of these subsequent slides will give you the geographic location of the project as well as the millions of rand that have been spent and the number of units that have been produced. So let me start off with the densification pop-up. You can see the geographic location on the left-hand side. They're all very well geographically located within the walking distance of those public transport corridors, which are in the grey colour on the slide. So very well situated from a geographic perspective. And then the right-hand box gives you the breakdown of how many units of the double-storey row house have been produced in each of the areas. So for that 43 million rand, we've produced that 1,086 units. And those are the geographic locations. This is dealing with the top-up to municipal standards, as well as some of the connectors. These are all the projects. 3,389 sites. It was 190 million rand that was spent. And those are the geographic locations. So the yellow blocks are your informal settlements. And you can see the project located, basically formalizing those informal settlements. And all reasonably well located, although you would like to see more of the project in more central areas being prioritized. Strategic land acquisitions, the geographic locations are pretty good, close to formal employment areas in the main. The box shows the actual project name and the number of informal settlements that currently reside on those strategic land plots. This is an example of the ablution blocks. There's a male and a female block with 6 or 7 toilets in each block, as well as some showers and hand wash basins. Now, we were on a program, a very a speedy program of ablution block provision to informal settlements. And then So we had an existing contract which we were pursuing. We were getting very good delivery per month on that program. And then we hit some SEM issues about, because the intention was to take that existing contractor. So we had a contractor which was procured through a tender process, and he was running very well and delivering very well. And the intention was to take that contract and to say, all right, let's extend the contract so that we can maintain the rate of delivery. But then we hit SEM issues, and we had to go into a re-advertising process. So we'd already bought a whole lot of these ablution blocks, which were basically in a depot waiting for installation on site, and then the program came to an end as a result of needing to re-advertise and go through another formal advertisement process. So we've got a whole range of 5,700 ablution blocks that are basically in storage, which is not ideal, but if you want to maintain a program which is delivering at pace, you need to have significant number of containers in storage in order just to be able to push them out with multiple projects being implemented. So in the year, we produced 11,000 installed ablution blocks, and then we've got 5,700 ablution blocks which are awaiting installation, and the new contractor has just been appointed. So those ablution blocks will be going pretty quickly for installation. The interim services project, now this is a beginning of a very strategic program which we seek your support on. Because there's a number of pilot projects which are being pursued, so we've only got 2,300 households in the pilot program, but we would like to upscale this program to 20,000, if not more, units per annum that are being provided, you know, informed settlements provided with a package of services, ablution blocks, electricity, stormwater channeling, labor-based maintenance of infrastructure, as well as there's a livelihoods assessment of these communities that goes as a front end to this program. So we would like to upscale this very dramatically. But what it means is that we need to take money from somewhere else in order to upscale the program. It's just the nature of the resources that we have. Similarly with the zone plan, now the zone plans was a process that I ran in conjunction with councillors. What we did is we identified the need in these community areas, and then we identified the delivery on our capital budget, and we identified where the gaps were within the delivery. And this is only the first year of the program, and there's a whole range of other programs, HIV, AIDS, think of some of those other programs, basic community facility, basic recreation, local economic development plans and projects. So there's a range of proposals that came out of the engagement looking at the development profile of each of the zones, which identified the gaps in our delivery. And in the first year, we've gone for the community gardens. There's been a big push on community gardens and a walk-to-school program, basically dealing with scholar safety at schools. So you get the kids off the streets, so you have less accidents, etc., with the kids at schools through the provision of formal sidewalks. And then there's a renewal of a number of town centres, and these town centres are in strategic areas which serve significant catchment areas. There's a big multi-purpose community hall in the Alini area, which has got a Tusong centre and a range of municipal facilities. So you've got province and the municipality coming together in one location. And then there's a number of regional or sub-regional parks, each sub-region being identified for a significant upgrade to a park with a range of uses in that park that serve a range of age groups and a full sort of demographic spectrum. Now, if you look at the number of households, so we've spent 31 million rand on this project, but if you look at all the households that are benefiting, so all the households within the catchment of Pinetown and Hammersdale and Umlazi, a very big number of people. So this is an example of a program where you're going for breadth rather than depth in your delivery program. And from a technical perspective, we need more of these kinds of programs, which spread the benefit to a much greater number of work people than the current housing program, which is heavy depth, but targeted only at a few households. Then you go on to the major bulk infrastructure, and there should only be a couple more slides. Perhaps I could just choose a couple of examples, and if people want, committee members would like me to come back and explain more about any particular project, then I can do that. Let's just take the first one, the Point Sewer Pump Station. Now, this is a bottleneck in the inner city sewer system, where the entire inner city drains towards the point, and there's a bottleneck on the pump station there. And that pump station pumps the sewage underneath the harbour through to the wastewater treatment work on the Buck Headland. So it's a critical area if you want to unblock development in the inner city. Not only housing development, but all development in the inner city. Let me look at the upgrade of the northern wastewater treatment works. 23 million rand has been spent, and this creates additional capacity at that treatment works to allow housing projects as well as other projects to occur. And we need to always remember in our, as urban development professionals, what we need to get is a mix of development which allows projects to go ahead which are non-revenue generating. There's no money coming back into the municipal purse from the provision of basic services and the provision of formal housing. Although they're very important areas from a quality of life perspective, a poverty alleviation perspective, they are very important. But there's no money coming back into the municipal purse. And we need, in order to follow that social program, we need sufficient money coming in. So we need projects of an economic variety which are bringing in more industrial development, which brings in more rates into the city's coffers, more office, retail development, and higher income residential development as well. We will not be able to continue our social program if we can't play the balancing act between bringing in revenue into the city in order to follow our social spend. Take the example of the Northern Aqueduct. The city has currently got a water supply problem for the entire northern area of the municipality, which is basically it's the growth part of the municipality, so it's a critical area. So all our housing projects, all our economic projects will, in a couple of years' time, basically come to a standstill if we can't augment the water supply to these areas. So that Northern Aqueduct is a critical component to allow development to take place. So I've just given you a basic explanation of some of those key bulk infrastructure projects that the USDG money has been utilized for. And, you know, people can come back and ask me any questions on any of those. That's the geographic location of the major bulk infrastructure. The one coming in from the west is the Western Aqueduct, and then going out towards the north, so that sort of big caterpillar in the sort of left-hand part of the diagram, is that water augmentation pipeline. This is the list of minor bulk infrastructure, and I'm not going to go through the list. We'll be here for a long time. There's actually two pages. So we've spent 170 million rand. Spent 170 million rand on the project. All fairly low spend, but it accumulates. And that's the location of that minor bulk infrastructure. All right, Chair, if I can go through the proposals for the 12-13 scheme. A very similar outline in terms of category. So the formal housing program, the proposal is to spend 256 million rand, and that will generate 6,000 units. And that's excluding the households that are living on the land which we intend purchasing in strategic locations. We still have to go through a full assessment to calculate that number. on the basic community services side, the send is 266 million and the estimated beneficiaries are 285,000 households. So if we're just to compare, and I understand that it's a very different nature of spend, but if you were to compare the 256 million proposed to be spent in the top block and the 6,000 housing units that you're delivering, compare that to the 285,000 households which are benefiting from a very similar spend on the basic community services side. The committee should consider that spend and reflect on where we're spending the money. What's the nature of that spend? Sorry, Madam Chair, I don't mean to lecture you. If I can go on then just to the bulk and connector infrastructure, the proposal is to spend 691 million rand. So you can see that the bulk of the spend is sitting in the bulk and connector infrastructure. And there's a split of the services that are going to be spent on. This is the location, geographic location, and number of units for the densification top-up. Okay, with your permission, can I speed up? I'm a bit concerned with you saying we've got a time limit. These are the sites for the spend on top-up services to housing units and the project. So 5,000 sites and 160 million rand. Now the strategic land we haven't yet identified. We're actually going into a process now to look at these key urban centres and in particular the stations along the public transport network. Because we're putting in this big public transport network and we have to now focus at the station in order to get the numbers of people to be formalized around those stations to take advantage of the ease of public transport access. So we're going through an investigation at the moment for land in these key station areas. This is a list of projects for the ablution block location, and there's 17,000 households that would benefit and 150 million rand being spent. That's the geographic location. You can see it follows very closely the informal settlement location. And there's just a picture of some of the services in those containers. The interim services program with a package of services that I've spoken about earlier, that's the list of projects where we're going to be focusing. And the number of households that will benefit from those interim services and the geographic location. For the zone plan, and the graphic there is, we were experimenting with ways that we can scale the intervention within these informal settlement communities. So that picture that you can see there, the containers, the ablution block containers at a lower level, and we've got our architects and they've started coming up now with some potential designs as to how we might be able to span over the ablution blocks in order to create a space above the ablution blocks, which could potentially be used for a small library, perhaps a job link center where unemployed people can record their details, what their skills are, so we can use it as a database for locating skills to be utilized in project upgrades in the area. perhaps an early child care development center. Not ideal next to the evolution box, but the important thing is that you've got a caretaker at the evolution box, so there's constant surveillance, and there's opportunity to upscale around that point. That's the list of bulk infrastructure, and there's quite a lot of carryovers from the 11-12 year into this set of projects. So you see the Western Aqueduct coming in there, for marshy wastewater treatment works. Many of these projects are multi-year projects. And here's a geographic location and a picture of the Western Aqueduct, that water supply augmentation pipeline. Minor bulk infrastructure really dotted all over, because you've got informal settlements which are throughout the urban fabric and the municipality. And local infrastructure, the geographic location might be quite distant from informal settled areas or housing projects, but they serve the capacity for that catchment, which picks up all these projects. Madam Chair, if I can end there and open it for questions.
Very much, again. I think you can interact, but I want to start one thing. We are not going to accept your people to say, where are you going to get money? You know, South Africa has got money for now. For now. They are trying to say, we are the taxpayers of this country. So there is money. The problem, how we utilize this money. That's it. So the stories of that's it, we're going to get money. For instance, here, you have got all of us. So we can't keep on listening to you telling us we want you to say, now there is no money, there are no longer taxpayers in South Africa, and then we'll sit there and say with the company aid from outside. But for now, there is money. There's quite a lot of money in South Africa. The second point is, here issue here, you say, I'm a low-cost housing. Yeah, this is a political decision. It's here to stay with us. And the human settlement program is not about low-income housing. It's not about it. Human settlement is about making sure that each and every citizen has got a shelter. That is the issue. There are people who are earning. They can go to the bank. There's fleet. There's loans. There's quite a lot. The only thing provides bulk services and sites for those people. That's the only thing. If you think you are spending all your USDG money in making sure that there is land planning, and you don't plan alone as the municipality, who are you planning with? Who are you planning with the municipality? Because to me, we have been talking about collaboration, integrated planning. All these departments, we cannot rely to this random subsidy panel to say we're going to deliver. Where is the agriculture here? Why are they not coming to party when they are introducing a program? So please, next time, don't think this committee is interested to hear these stories. Time has gone.
First of all, Chairperson, I didn't hear about the Pongolo issue from the national, from the provincial department. Pongolo. Yes. Well, I did visit Pongolo, but there's nothing that has been said about Pongolo. And the other one, Chair, is that one of informal segment families which are benefiting from Konobia. We couldn't hear how many families that are going to benefit from this Konobia And the impact in Conakry is a crisis chamber. They cannot say we have a huge development, but there is no access of, there is no roads, no schools, no transport. So I don't know what kind of a thing is that. And the other one here is that one of meetings with Arasal Wazim Chondoy. How many meetings did they hold with them? Because when we were there, the crisis is you don't consider them. But now we say we did have meetings with them. And the other one here is that one of hostels. I'm quite a chair. Really, that's my concern, because I was just there then. I know what I'm talking about. That area is very dirty, and some of their houses are deliberated. It's called Marshall and 17, but most of them. I didn't tell you that the last one is the one of Imbali, what one, the old woman. What happened to the house that was occupied by that old woman? Because the house was the dangerous one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also appreciate the presentation. To the problem, I see in your presentation you are not committing yourself in terms of time frame. Most of the projects doesn't have time frames, and you've been talking about the prolonged project cycles, but you are not saying when will you be completing and when will you be commencing. So if you can just clarify us on most of the time frames for your project. To Ethekwini, when you look at the quality of life survey that you have conducted, it tells you where you need to spend in terms of your revenue. And I think the basic is to do basic services. That's where your focus and your attention should be. And I'm glad to see that there is synergy with your expenditure with the quality of life of service, because of it's speaking about transport, it's speaking about electricity, water, those basic services. That's where you need to spend on. And the bulk infrastructure, of course. The second issue is, I need to agree with the Chair, that the issue of money, I think it's a national anthem. We should not be singing it. Because you do have funds that are allocated to you. All you need to do is to get your priorities right. And that is where the problem lies. You need to make sure that you reprioritize and make sure that you get your priorities right. And I think some of these surveys are also indicating to you where you need to be spending your money on. The third issue is you were talking about the revenue for the city. But in your presentation, I don't see anything about social housing. Because of that is where the potential is. In all this spatial landscape when I see potential for social housing. But you are not speaking to that. Because if you are speaking of densification, then you got to look at the issue of how do you, put in social housing. And that is what you are not referring to. And the other issue that I want clarity on, you are saying that it seems as if densification is costing you 40,000 more than the normal RDP house, which is quite sad, because of we want to move towards densification because of the scarcity of land that you are talking about. And when you look at your spatial landscape, all areas where you want to develop, I think that land will be right for densification. So you've got a dilemma. You must, work on your side of saying it's costing you more because of. That's the only option you've got there. If you want to go for the normal 40 square meter RDP, you're not going to realize your dreams. So you got to think of densification in that instance. To the city manager, let me use this opportunity for you to ask you the monthly report. That must be an achievement for you. But I knew that the chair was going to ring me out of order, but that was the opportunity I wanted to use. Because of it got highly implications.
My man, you have a platform. You can ask that question to the Minister of Cooperative Governance. Where's the EDA written reply? Yeah.
I accept the ruling. We definitely will do that. But the thing is, why I'm asking the city manager is because of most of the culprits are in housing. And it might fix the issue of why we've got an acting HOD. Because of that department is full of actors.
Yeah, and that is not a problem. What we need to do that? Just for the question in terms of human settlement, but I request that they must not answer, they must respond in writing. In fact, the National Department attempt, take that one so that when we are dealing with the BRRR report, we need that information. Are you ready now?
Yes, we will definitely go that way. I don't know because of the HAPNU method does not want to release that report. So I don't know how the National Department is going to gain access to that report. But maybe the city manager can speak only to the housing issue in that report because of it making a major impact of that report is about housing.
That's why we want to say, let's ask your question that is related to human settlements. Let's forget about the non-release and so on because the department has got a responsibility to respond. In fact, we have got an opportunity because we are also going to invite UPA Service Commission to come and present those issues here. So, UPA Kobangachona, because if you know, we ask what is going on about those workers, so that's SIU, how long. So, we can ask the question that is related to that, and every time I must ask that question, they must respond. When we get to the BRRR, I think it's 2 weeks to come. I'm going to deal with the BRRR. One day full report. So there's no information even from OPS. Yes.
All right. I will accept your ruling in that way. And just refer the question to the city manager, how are they dealing with corruption in housing?
Thanks, Chair.
Have been covered by Honorable Mukhalapa. Then I have two questions for both the city and the department. Then there is a slide on the land mobilization. You mentioned that rural development on releasing state land, your relationship is improving in that regard. Then I just want to know, what is your relationship with SDA? Is SDA assisting in acquiring state land for adequate human settlement development? Then, for the city, I just want to say we were very impressed by the new ablution blocks. They are very clean, and we even tested that as a portfolio committee. So keep it up, keep the good work up. Then, there's a slide here on your special landscape. You mentioned, especially on the sanitation, then there's this 231,000 bag on sanitation. I'm just interested to know, what does these people use for sanitation tables? Do they have the ablution blocks as well, or what kind of sanitation are they using? Then another thing, I'd like them to refresh my memory, because sometimes you forget other things at age. It's also taking its toll. So what I want to know is there is nothing mentioned about rural sanitation. I don't know whether you do have a rural area at Ebwini or you don't have. Then also the low-cost housing numbers. I'm just interested because I'm just interested to know if there are rural houses that are built by the city. Thanks.
Thank you, Tillerson. Yes, I think just on the sanitation issue, it's rather sad that there are 231,000 people who don't have access to sanitation, and there are about 1,700 of these ablution blocks in storage. But I don't want to go back over things that have been raised already. I want to also just thank you for all the hard work that's gone into the presentations. But there are issues, and as a portfolio committee, we follow the money. It's extremely difficult when we don't have timelines, when we don't have quantifiable stuff in front of us. And in this presentation made by the province, actually, there's a lot of stuff here that doesn't speak to timelines, as has already been mentioned. I want to go back to the beginning, the Cato Creek project. Now, this is one very good example. You talk about 620 units have already been built. Now, what is the total problem, total number of units in Cato Crest, living on that piece of land, and with 620 units already built, what is the balance of the people still to be accommodated, and where are they going to go? So we would like to know the numbers there. Many people are also being accommodated in the transit camps, tin houses. What is the city's policy regarding how long people stay in those structures?
I just want to request that we just wait for 3 minutes. There are more officers that are available from Amman and Estella. We need to adopt this report. And so on. So we're going to lose the quorum. We have been through this report, this NK's report. I think it's almost 2 months now, and we have read it. The only thing we need to adopt it. Can I request you with the MBO to finalize this? I'm an Italian.
Thank you.
Honourable members, this report we have long been postponing it. I think we have read it, all of us. So I don't think we can start from this stretch. But what is important, we just want to confirm with these are the areas that we visited, all of us. We met with the provincial NEC, and then we had discussions. And they want to start afresh, because these members did have some issues they should have submitted to my office to add. Even if there are no additions, the stuff that was produced is up to. We met with the Amalina, we went to Dalton Village, rental housing, street workers, we were there. The only thing is to make a follow-up. We were there at Malaba Extension. Those people said they must come to have a full day from Itegwini, must get lessons from Itegwini how to deal with these issues. Nelson Mandela, I've had so many meetings. KD, Chrisani, we are from Chrisani because we didn't have a productive meeting there. Hillside, Middleback, that is Chrisani. Banta, that is Chrisani, and then O.R. Tambo, we didn't visit the project then. We are from there now, okay, we have a good report. Then we have got AMA observations and recommendations. I think we are all happy with the recommendations because the recommendations, they talk to access to basic services, talk to upgrading more informal settlements, talk to ensure affordable rental housing stock is provided, land issues and EIA is a long story, legislative and policy compliance, IGR, there, and then the non-compliance implementation here, USDG. Then they talked to Steph Strong, disaster affected areas, as well as fighting crime and corruption. I don't think there's something that we've left. So can we confirm that this is the report and then we adopt the report? Well, up to you now.
I was just making a point on the Chrisani and the Boer Tambo.
Yes.
Because we have visited them. The new issue we're going to incorporate in a new report.
Okay, this one, we are going to adopt this one. And then we are going to write a new report. Yes. About this current, the latest.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think, let me say that this is a full reflection of what we saw on that visit. Then I also move for the adoption of this report. That's all.
Thank you very much. Matalo? Thank you very much. You are really the honorable those. Well, this is all
secretary person. I think we left the there at Cato Press and the numbers that because at one stage there was something like 5,000 shacks. So that might have grown, and you know, we've only delivered 620. So there's a whole balance. And then the this is going to lead me on to Cornelia, because also I think all the informal settlements, if I'm correct, are all looking to Cornelia to solve the problem of low-cost housing. Kennedy Road, I see you've mentioned here as a result of our visit there. To go now straight to Cornelia, which we did query in the last time that you were with us, I see you talking here now in the first phase of having completed 60 units and 135 at roof level. You don't tell us how many are in this first phase, but I happen to know it's just under 500, 186 if I'm correct. And I see they are also being completed a little earlier than was anticipated, because I was told April and now it's January, so that's a good thing. I wanted to say that the breaking new ground, I must mention this, breaking new ground has been part of us. It was launched in 2004, and yet we are still busy here with a brand new project, and it's not properly planned with schools and transport and clinics and health and all these things that go with it. Now, I think that, you know, that is a really sad indictment on the way that we do our planning. We are wanting to improve the lives of people, and yet we can't move them onto these sites. And then we've got to start thinking out of the box, and we've got to say, all right, if the children have not got access to schools and clinics, what are we doing by way of transport or mobile clinics or mobile things to come in and assist these people in these communities in the first place that will be there? I would like to know, which is going to lead me on now to the beneficiary lists. As we've moved around in the country, and we've been to nearly every single province in this term of ours, one of the biggest problems that we are facing is beneficiary lists and the corruption that exists as a result of poorly managed beneficiary lists. Now, we are really grappling with this, and I would like to know, what is the Queenie's beneficiary list criteria? How do you go about your list? Do you have a list? And when you've got a project like Cornelia, what is your process that you're following in order to get your list going here? I want to, Chairperson, with your permission, I really do need to raise something. I want to talk about a lady who has tried to get on a housing list since November 2010. This has been through the local councillor. She's lived in this place for 10 years with her children. Yes, you can smile. It's been through everybody. The local councillor, housing department in Edikweni, the city manager in Edikweni, the minister's office. There is now nowhere else that this can go to get this lady onto a housing list. And this is the story of millions of people out there. And I'm saying, how are you managing? People don't even answer their telephones in these departments. They don't return phone calls. And we talk about giving a better life to people. Come on, guys. Let's see, can we jack ourselves up a little bit here? And then related to the beneficiary lists, and it's been alluded to, and that is your needs register. Do you know out of your 410,000 households, what percentage of those are needing RDP houses? How many are needing gap pocket housing? How many need rental housing? Do we know any of these statistics as we are planning into the future? And I hear that that's what you're trying to do, but this is an area that is really critical. Title deeds as you hand over your houses. What is the state of your title deeds? And then the snagging lists. These are all things that come up under the visits that that we make. But let me also just now go to the USDG. The chairperson has also alluded to this. This grant is meant for infrastructure to improve poor people's lives, particularly, as I understand it, the huge number of people that are gravitating towards the city. 60% of those are in our metros. Now, the chairperson spoke about money being available. I wonder if you're aware that last year there was 22 billion rand allocated to housing in the budget. But in fact, when an exercise was done with all the other that comes into the human settlements, we were looking at a total of 120 billion rand. Now that's a lot of money. That's when you're talking of accessing to your mix, your waters, your electricity, your all these roads, transport. It all forms part of human settlements. Now, are we all working in our little silos, or are we trying to come into the new South African context where we try to break those silos down and get delivery on the ground? What is very distressing also is the backlog in delivery of housing. 4,000 to 5,000 units you say we're delivering now, and there was a time when it got up to 18,000. Can we have some idea as to why there's this huge difference now in Etiquette's delivery? Chairperson, I'm going to do just one other so that I don't abuse the privilege here. But I would also just like some clarity on your schedule of your spend summary for 11 and 12 of the USDG money. I know that you pointed out that there would be differences in some of the figures because you were updating them. On the 2011-12 spend on the basic community services, the interim services, the informal settlement, you talk about 3378 households benefiting. Then you go to your 12-13, and there was a figure on this hard copy that I've got of 3300. But your slide is showing 62,003. I just want to know if that's a mistake, or if that, in fact, because the figure of 66 is a 66 million rand spent on the interim services, that's remained the same. So if you could just check your slide on that. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Chair. Apart from the sound, actually, to be the tail end speaker, most of the questions have been taken. And it's a disadvantage and actually an advantage, because even if one had the mind to raise concerns on a particular report, now they will have a director. Chairperson, thank you, and thank you for the presentation. Very, very informative. Chair, I am very much concerned, certainly, about the synchronization of policy directives. And it wasn't happy as to what province directs to actually achieve its end result. Is their policy speaking to the challenges that are on the ground? The issue of transport has been touched by. The other aspect I'm concerned about is the issue about emerging contractors. Have you seen any light, any development on that particular aspect? Chair, I'm sure that the department is well aware of the numerous protest marches in KwaZulu-Natal currently in around the issue of acquiring homes. Can the department elaborate on the 87,000 subsidy for a particular target of market? And is it currently being rolled out? Chair, I want to inquire about the specific training of specific projects that fall under the auspices of the province. Not long ago, down on the south, there was a protest about people who were acquiring these skills in form of training. Huge amounts of rentals are being paid to occupy premises for this particular purpose, but there was no stipend for these people who were getting these skills training and later was utilized, their skills were utilized in certain projects. Can I have some clarification on that? Well, the MC of KZN has made numerous announcements on certain upgrades. Time frames? The issue, I don't know whether province works in conjunction with other departments, you know. While you're speaking about Department of Roads, you're speaking about Department of Agriculture. To also look at the Department of Home Affairs, so you could have a package sort of, because informal settlements, in spite of people living there for a long number of years, the challenge is that they could not get allocation of homes, cannot get themselves. I think one of the speakers spoke about a list. Now, they are prejudiced. This needs attention, and a huge amount of informal settlements who live there who don't have correct IDs and documents actually don't end up getting homes. Chair, you're absolutely correct. And I think if a particular report has been dealt with, we will definitely have money. There is lots of money, but we need to translate that. The metro. I want to find out, apart from the USDG, don't you utilize any other form of subsidy and grant for a particular purpose? And I don't want to illustrate on the different subsidies. I'm asking the question. You know, you get the equitable share in all of those kinds of other grants. Please elaborate on that. You know, as the chair has indicated, in spite of the call would say they better life for all, people are still suffering their homes. And that is precisely what the USDG grant has been directed to do in terms of high density. People that are migrating towards the cities and all of that. But I want you to be mindful of one fact. The diagnostic report. And your planning should be aligned for the future in terms of the high density that the Tegweni will be experiencing. What are your plans in terms of all of those aspects? So the issue of this, listen, it's welcome. It's a good gesture, the social justice, you know, principle that we hear about. What about the role of the social development? The role of other departments. Why is it that the USDG grant must be used entirely and profoundly whilst we can get support from others so that we could also direct some of the bulk of this money towards building homes for the people? Have you approached that? Have you looked at that? Say, I'm going to do the last one because I can see. I'm definitely going to leave the Manasa report out or I'll be caught to order. Chair, supply chain management, is that a destabilizing factor for the Amazon? You take wind. I was saying I'm the only chair. You know why? Yesterday I was at a protest, and actually we refused it. But this is precisely what I am trying to understand. I was at a council meeting in Silweni Municipality, and the comrade Nigel Gomez, the chairperson of the human settlement, categorically said that all projects that have been registered up until 2004 will now be directed towards funding, etc. On Monday we were at the protest march, and Chair, and I think it was one of the areas that you visited as well. It's called the Kota Informal Settlement in Ispingo. Living there for over 12 years. I'm not going to harp on the issue about illegal electricity and bleaching facilities. You know, I think what needs to be done is bold, decisive, and constructive planning to bring all of these challenges and all of these projects. I hear you speak about USDG getting this priority project. What criteria is used? When you go out on the field and people are still shouting out for 12 years, we are living in transit crime, informal settlements. I think there needs to be a more specific analysis of how you approach things. But I think on the whole, Chair, the approach of Itigane Municipality is correct. It's trying to address these issues, but I think it had to be on the ground to deal with those kind of challenges. One of the most devastating challenges that I see protesting every corner of Tigweni is the issue of the consolidated bill. And I think you need to unpack that slightly, because you know, you have the three basic services. People are entitled for that. It is their right. Now you go and see you have consolidated these bills. People are disconnected because they owe electricity, or because they owe areas in the entrance, the water, the electricity, and all others are disconnected. Now that is creating a hell of a devastation. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Stephen. Many questions have been asked. The questions that I was very much concerned about. Maybe I'm having one or two that I have to find out. I also like to thank the presenters with their presentation. I do have just few questions. I would like to find out about the completed houses from Konopia that are not occupied. Aren't you worried that they might be vandalized or illegally occupied? Because I think if, you know, people from Kennedy, they are always attacked by fire, there is a disaster there. If anyone amongst them can organize a meeting and tell them that there are houses in Nubia that are not occupied, believe me or not, the following day they will be there occupying houses illegally. Aren't you worried about that, whether it will be illegally occupied or just vandalized, because these housing that are not occupied? The project Kwamathubuza with 504 units that have been completed. Initially, how many units for this project was it? The Bagulusi, Abagulusi, Kwamnyati. I don't know whether Abagulusi is my constituency. It's having five. It's Bedford, Pongolo, Idume, Freyhead, Ulundi, and Nongoma. Yeah, that consists of Akulu. Sorry? That is Zululand. You said they have visited 1 year. Did you, there was a disaster
Edume, long time ago, and nothing was done until I asked these people to make an appointment with the MEC. Then they were called by the MEC, and the MEC, after the meeting, when I asked, they said the MEC said he was not aware of the disaster. And there is another one, saying in Dumbe, Ward 1, there was a disaster there. And I don't remember hearing that anything was done. I'm sure you don't care about Dumbe. And that is my constituency. I travel all the way from Devon to Dumbe. There is another place that I want to find out. Are you dealing with Etiwini and other specific areas? Because I've never heard you talking about, I heard the visitor talking about it there, talking to Amakhosi. But where I was born and bred, it's in Langweni, the area called in Langweni. Do you know that thing? nothing is happening. Whenever I'm at home, they used to say, oh, we are lucky you are at home today. But when are we going to get houses? When? I always say, don't worry. And I'm in Parliament. This is the road that I requested for you. The main road from Kopo to Poshakti. I said, this is the route. I asked somebody, there is a good mother of mine in Devon called Nomshidambuza. I'll ask her about houses in this area. We are having rural areas where there are no toilets, no houses. Have you ever think of those areas? It's under the Chief Lamini, the one who was contacting with Goodwill. That's it, I said. I just want to hear anything that you are thinking about that area.
In the USDG, I just seen a rollover.
Why are you having rollover? Why do you keep on complaining there is no money, there's no money?
Because I think just told you that there is a lot of money in South Africa.
And there is money that even you even fail to utilize. Then you get rollover. Why?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I won't say much. Thank you for the presentation. Under monitoring and evaluation, Chair, I would like to appreciate the establishment of the monitoring and evaluation unit, which will assist on monitoring and making sure that the work on the ground does tally with the money spent. But I would like to know what made you to come to that decision. I'm checking if it's not, we are not duplicating one and the same thing. And what will be the financial implications on that? Under Arashadi Basem Dondolo Chair, I would like to know what plans do you have to settle these people permanently? Because they were complaining that they've been there for many years. For many years, I personally don't wish to meet those people again, citing one and the same thing to us. And it is a disaster management. The report doesn't show us how big is the disaster backlog. Since you've made mention of the fact that you still have disaster backlog from previous years, can you clarify that and maybe put time frame so that you can be able to monitor? Because according to this report, this process is really dragging. And to the Colombia project, I won't say much. My colleagues have said a mouthful, but I've got a concern. I'm worried about the pace. The pace is too slow. It's really
slow. I don't know what is it that we can do to try and push it. The pace is too slow. We will experience some problems in this project. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Yabonani akwadlala our visit, we met with the MEC, where the discussion, engagement, there were issues that were raised. Nothing is coming. Of course, from the discussions that we had with the MEC, no matter how the MEC, information is still there, our report is there, nothing but they are responding. I want to cite one example. The province has been awarding contracts, a maximum of 4 contracts to 1 contractor. And Siberia is a Londoner. The someone that tells you to go to Londoner, you are no longer doing that thing. That is part of our oversight. The second point, the issue of, you know, the former MEC, what her province is rural. 60% of the province is rural. And she indicated that 60% in the budget is going to make sure that covering the rural. Because it's city of an added area. There's this metro and the USCG. The other issue, there was an issue of NHDF enrollment. And there was a commitment to say, as from 2009, no projects were going to be approved unless they are registered with NHBRC. We want to know what is the status. Do we still have houses that have been built in 2010 that would require rectification? If so, why? Because it means NHBRC has been involved as from 2010. We want a report. There is another program, military veterans. We know that there is a bill that has been passed. Yes, there was a commitment to say there are 5,000 service sites that have been allocated for those military veterans. What is happening with those 5,000 sites? Where are they? Where are they located? What is your interaction with the Department of Military Veterans now? You have been so quiet. There's quite a number of units that were committed. I understand the Konubia. I don't want to say anything about the Konubia. There were projects in Dobosh, in the Arjuba, near the Greenfield, Emandin, Vulindela, Msunduzi, Rifontein, Tokozweni. There's even 46 projects inspected and costed in 6 million and were stopped due to inferior work and reappointed to rectify rather than to the rectification. So I just want to say, I'm not saying there's none, as the reporter would. We need a comprehensive reporting. So there's quite a lot of information everyone which is not evaluated, you should have reported on. The province reported to us that there has been a service level agreement signed between NHBRC, which will drive rectification program. What is that? Do you mean to say NHBRC rectified? Yes, that is so. You are making a mistake. You are making a big mistake. Go and counsel, because NHBRC is our
institution. We have been saying that OSDRC has got one mandate, quality assurance, nothing else. NHDRC has been legislated for quality assurance. So what about the rectifier? What about the contractor? We don't need them. What about the contractor? Lens, we don't know where in Robinson. No grenade. But in NHDRC. And if you can have a look on a solo, don't forget what the rest of the language. You won't keep on, yes, you see, the amendment bills before us, money renegade. I want to know what I'm doing. You're hoping now. The money is hoping now. The bottom is full of cholera. That was wrong. It's okay. We have got a mandate to initiate, to amend the legislation. Sinilika opportunity of you are late. I'm saying you are late. If we still have AMA legislation, anga, zami ukuchinta impilo zabantu. Nafuna ukwenza izinto zithile kuba abantu abathenisithayo abathile abangafanelanga ukuthenisitha kwezo zinto. Niye nigcine loo ma-legislation, you are late. There's one mandate that has been given by the Constitution. That mandate has given both the executive authority and us by Constitution. So when you're hoping out in a soggy gym, okay? I'm talking about soggy gym. So, the bottom line, who knows if you're excellent? The assessment of 45 projects have already commenced, but there were concerns regarding the high cost of the particular assessment and rectification to turn into billions of offense. So, this issue of assessment, not very clear. Who does the assessment? Is it easy? Or how do you put it in the rectification? Not very clear. Must come to all of us. Who is the responsibility is that one? Simply, there is a duplication of services. The department is doing a preliminary. As I ask them to please me at my team. Then there comes NHDRC. Because I believe the assessment is one assessment. You come and assess what level is full of words and don't know. Does this house need to be rectified? Does this house need to be demolished? That's it. It's a way of spending funds unnecessarily. Those assessments you are doing, I'm telling you. There's preliminary, there's another thing that you are waiting for NHDRC to do. Look how about it. So drawing table and discuss the issues and come back with clear with the running aleman. So soon when it's done, it's long. No. That's the one and important undertaking what was done by the province where they were using the IS. And then last month, we put an assessment in informal settlements. It's an assessment. A total of 17 municipalities had informal settlement municipalities, which were plotted. Where is that report? What are we doing with that report? Are you using that report? Nobody else is what you're talking about. That they were that thing. You are trying to do something else again. Because there's money to do that. Then there was a strategy for eradication of land in the province already. But, yes. So, what happened with that strategy? Because what we need to hear now is, no. There's this strategy and we are trying to implement it. What are the challenges? Senzanu, who's modifier? to ensure that there's a strategy that has been there. It's not been encouraged by the strategy. And then you come here and tell us that there's no money. I'm not relating to you, Ken. I'm just speaking generally to the department and yourself and another department that is supposed to provide support to the province in terms of the constitution. The other departments have got a responsibility to provide the support to the provinces as well as municipalities. You are not spoken to the meeting. You have been so silent. We expected you to talk something, to raise something about this. The other issue, yeah, I don't want to talk much about disaster. Because you still owe us a lot. If you go back and read this report again, you still owe us a lot in terms of disaster. As well as the block project and plan. How many block projects do you have in the province? At one stage, there was a total amount of 77.4 million. Then I see the flare for bulk infrastructure in all 11 districts, municipalities. Now, I mean, for many other years, then I see 77. You would have an amount of more than that 77.4 for bulk. I don't want to take up balancing. I want to work on that money. We listen. Spiral attention when you take care. And then there was the 122 million that was required for EIS. How far have you gone with the EIS? Yeah? You know, 200 million for land acquisition was going to be required. Every land that fell apart, we get any parties and if it has, they have barred or because no one even has to have a party comes again. We put those figures in a town. There was also an issue of tilling as it means. And then you have not reported fully in terms of Umsundus. There's an extensive reporting on Umsundus and you want to know the progress. You want the progress of these issues that were raised Umsundus. It means IGR Pegasus. If we can't receive this, I want to get a full report. We had a gentleman from COFCA, Mr. Brooks. Was it Mr. Brooks? Yeah. Or Mr. Brooks, that guy was like a clear picture. That sanitation just in the province constitutes 527,000 households. Are in need of adequate sanitation. Who broke the other information? Why is the if today, I thought I was 2 months old, as from 2011, when we were there, well, the situation was like this, and now we have improved the situation quantifying, from the period, then the water backlog amounts to 394 households. Those issues are very critical. When you are reporting, there was an issue of capacity in terms of engineers. There were only 11 engineers as of Gashiwe. So I want to know what is the situation now? What is the situation currently? So I'm just trying to say, even Nelson Song, I want to know, you can tell me. I want to know, those five municipalities I know. So don't be selective when you are reporting to us. Please try and get back ngifunele report and you report back the news ezizibuzo comments zethu nizifake itheku lona itheku itheku nalo line 4 million ye population and 60% zuma itheku. There were 382 of the 500 informal settlements in the city of Durban had been identified for in-situ upgrading. If I want to say that we have 10 more brothers and sisters, I don't know what the government and the government way to because those are the issues as you are responding. A total of 171 set settlements were upgraded and 417 remain to be upgraded. Approximately 20 families were sent to be relocated to where? If we are not delivering. To where? So please. Siyanicela. The issue of this is your homework. This is your homework. By next week, we'll report in this one. It's a class layer. That report. I want that report in my table. I'm so loose. Then, coming to what is this place? Len Elalama. Len Elalama, Manama, Imbali. At the 13th. There were houses there. They went there, and the problem is those houses were sold. And I have a report here to say, we let them. What problem? Those receipts. What gives you that information? We need to know, then there's no response. I see you in the local committee. We better go back. We are not fit to be here. We want to know when they signed the embassy, they said they were people who are going to occupy as an intro. And the city of Pedra event, and as an intro, as good as Simo, so had a man to inhabitable. Very much inhabitable. And who can end in the toll of that day, Miso? You can't, they are clear, these guys. They are very much clear. They know their story because what they are saying, they say, if the department is going to develop next year, a certain area, they expect that department to bring a number of houses that are going to be developed there so that they can prepare and make sure that fire contracts and staff during that period, this corner is stuff that is going to assist in fast-tracking. So we still go back to Leo Sellers and Insalos. Urural development is there to assist the worker is in here. Utugen, yes, Mnambi. There was an amount, a common level of mass power of the Mnambi. For 200 million. We want to know why my father was a whole police. You know, we went to a house day. That was
Yaman ni mesela ki bu anak da falan kutu, o da var elektrifay ile bu 25 milyon. Şimdi ne kadar zaman değil. The next thing about what elektrifay ile man varın atırın, açı sana kansıl. We forward up that money. That man was paid. Want to know which, why there was a commitment. Ne asla bu diye bu MEC opele, the records are there. And if, when you get into the office, one get under liabilities, right? Office. So, I want to know why there was a 300 million that was committed to Umnandi and why it was not paid. From the angle of following your policies, because the issue of land, we requested, Matsuk, we requested with 2 HDA. Should go either towards the area, there's an area for the Mambiti. Apple, in most areas, landowners were not residing in their land while others were deceased. Want to know? Because it is difficult to trace those people. And tenants were negatively affected. We requested that SDA, Maslatela, must go there. That was our directive. And if you don't get our directive, what will put some on you? We indicated that NHGRC and this guy, HDA, should be invited there. Because they are the ones that has been given a mandate to look at the issue of land. Why it was not happening? There were some that are contributing land for houses, but those people who are committed to participate in these programs, why these people are not here is the farmer who contributed so much because so that farmers are not contributing, deliver. But it's just want to know who are those farmers who have contributed. So that we communicate with them as parliament. Because they have done a good job. One more thing. You know? But that is the report. Please go and read. There was a problem in Matane and New Tech roofing. We got a report that roofing is too light and could not withstand. He said so. Because of your conditions. And then next time you come with that song. Well, in the possible minute, 6 months down the line, there must be a prophet. In Union, the beneficiaries have been occupying the houses for a period of 13 years without houses being transferred. What is the problem? How far is this problem? Have you done your homework appropriately to ensure that these things will report to us accordingly? So that when we get back to the community, we report, because we have to report, e-report, a quality report. So are the shams, how the shams are, isn't it? Why is it the shams? Because our band of members are such good for shams. Because we are there to assist politicians. Who is the shams? So, why is it the shams? And why are the children doing it? Why is it the shams? Then, when you get to this target, how many units that are targeted for fleet? How many? And the amount you have to attach budget. Well, on and on now, because we have planned, attach budget. Now, when I tell my friend Kennedy, he wrote, we are tired of the story. But they just spent our location. How much are you giving them? Yes. Then we talk to the NHDRC, high NJP. I'm sure my NHDRC will have a problem.
Solar heating. What's going on there? System. Is it that? Or for the hand? I don't know what I was discussing in your technical meeting. Because this case has set a good example. To say it's been to have under 18 square meters, they are demolished. What and for all? Why is the many policies as disagree? Because once you are in a technical meeting, you share experiences and you take what is good. Those makulus, what do you think about them? You need to think creatively, proactively. Share experiences. That one excellent who has been asking Nelson Mandela, why are they not learning from you from the metro, from the integrity metro? Coming to how many units that I deliver? Yeah. Yeah, what I mean? We deliver 40 units a month. A thousand. Hi, 1,000 deliver. 1,000. You don't have to deliver 100. You still buy it. What is it? 100 a month. Little. This is my cool. Still that you have. Beneficiaries are not going to talk about it. Guys, the tell is our respond. The tell is our respond and they're all respond. You give us a phone number. Nella. You don't know what you want to know. What you want to know. That's my purpose is steering committee. It's a province. The only thing that I want to know, have you got a steering committee that drives RIP program in KZN? That's the one thing that I want from you, for RIP. Nothing else. If it is not, why not? We don't have budget, in fact, for the project center. Then, last of the last. What's the issue? No ACOM. The place in case. When is it going to be? That is up to the point of May 1. Book on a shot. The Pumene is in everything. Beautiful houses. With everything. With the same contact. This is not an excuse. This is not an excuse. MIG. Imagine. So now I'm going to join the national leader. What about my fellow women? How do they spend? That's the part. What a problem they will spend. They were not spending. Imagine. So there is money. There is money for health infrastructure. No excuses. And for 8,000 units, okay, for double story. Yes, but I think we have to think critically with your partner in government. Maspala, what you need to do, there's one thing. If they must make sure that they attract as departments. Try and involve call them. If they are not cooperating, tell us. That's why we are here. Don't tell us, come to the Department of Human Settlement. They've got only one fund down, subsidy fund down. And then one guarantee beyond fund. They don't have money. Don't expect that much from the Human Settlement. Call all those departments to come when you are planning. Invite them in writing. The Department of Transport Education, come here, we are planning. We want you to come up with your, because budget for developing human settlement is 122 billion for this current financial year. But only 22 billion that comes from human settlement. That includes USDG. The other money comes from other departments. So, that was the biggest story. No story. In beneficial list, I can't do this. Malinga ngamafutshane enokuziphendula ngoku eningenakwazi nizasibhalela i-report nisithumelele by Monday ibetafulei na because le report sasiyifinalize. We need to finalize this report and adopt it. So I left on Monday on that report on my team. Thank you. The issue of sovereign hostel, man, I got my friends and they respond, they must have fallen down. But the guy named sovereign hostel, who called an area of the years, development areas are, what is going on there, what is the woman of an inai, the reporting is provided by Monday. Sovereign hostel and Umyat program. Who called an area to work home, Saba, or a booth. So you call the program in the inside. If you call an instructor, they would see my team in the parent. One of them can release me. Mama, the reason is to be enough for house children. I was born.
Respond, or else you have to write. Are you prepared to respond? Maybe only one or two, three or four, 10 or 12, 15 or 20 questions. Mr. Glenn, you respond.
No, Chair, I think since there has been quite a number of issues raised by a lot of members, and we were jotting down. I don't think we are requesting that really to go back and just look and put it in writing. But there are few things that one may remember. The issue of, for instance, issue of our elders and gender. Those groups are a major stakeholder. In terms of informal settlement upgrade and also providing good methodologies for providing houses and also instilling the issue of
sweat equity participation by the FL beneficiaries where they do their saving. It's a good model. We are working with them so that we need to strengthen our engagements with them all the time. But sometimes there are some challenges which are practical challenges when you meet, because even within their groupings, of which some of the things one observe that is the issue of power, that who is in charge, because you find some division among them, the others wanting to meet with you separately. So those are some of the things that of which they need to be managed. But in terms of the concept, it's good. And with regards to the issue of this, the military veterans that was raised, that one is a bit of a sensitive one, and it has been escalated at the level of the Premier and the MEC, because even the military veterans themselves, there was a program that was initiated, and then in fact not 5,000, it was 5,000 subsidies that were approved. And then in the issue of the pilot, it was agreed that the pilot was going to be starting from, to be started in Etiwini, within Etiwini and Mukumundu. And because it was renewed, the military veterans themselves, they indicated that they wanted to be part of building their houses. And then in terms of the policy that we had, we interpreted that as a department, that is, that falls under the category of PHP. And then we had a little bit of a fight, because I think we were fighting over the terminology. They wanted the PLR. They said PLR, not PHP. But in actual fact, it was an issue of this. And then immediately, the other issue was the procurement issue, where the Military Veterans Association was saying they brought a company of saying we must appoint the company. And then we said in terms of PFMA and procurement processes, we will be contravening, we cannot. And then they said, no, they are going to raise the matter at a political level. And then that's when the matter went there. But those subsidies that were approved, and they were going to be implemented in stages. So we are at that stage now where I think the Department of Military Veterans is engaging through national at a higher level, of which we are still waiting. But we have said some of the sites or that were owned by the department within the Tewini area, infill site, they could be used to assist the military veterans. So these are some of the programs which can, some of kind of insensitivity. So it's not lost, but we are keeping an eye on it to hear what's happening at a high level. The Inochan, there is a Pongolo. That project is Inochan and Nochan. Those are two projects. The other one, Inochan, was an old project which was done by a private developer. And then people were staying there and there were no transfers that took place because there was an issue on the land, the other issue being the mineral rights issue over the land, and there was also the issue of land. It was not clear, and the developer had left, and the municipality have picked that issue, and they are trying to get someone who is an expert in land just to separate this and to see how, and those houses, yes, they were affected. Most of them, they were affected by the storm, of which we as a department, we are coming in on the disaster site. But also, even if it's a disaster, it is difficult to put a permanent house where you cannot put a title deed to a person. You have to go through this. The only thing, if those houses are bad and they are inhabitable, people cannot, they can be provided with a temporary house at the moment. And let us, because land issues sometimes take a little longer, where a person cannot just be staying outside. So it's those dynamics that we are dealing with in Mochan. But it's a project that was done by the private developer, of which, but we will not run away. The issue of Nsangweni, I think, Chairman, I am pleased to say Nsangweni, there is a project under Nkosi Dlamini. It's still planning. One may just follow up and see when are the implementing agents completing the planning on that project. So 1,000 subsidies under Nkosi Dlamini. I know it's under Mzumbe municipality. Yes, there is a project there. I think with the time frame, yes, we will we note that we will go back and look at where we can do the time frame and
We did mention in some like the issues of Boston Clive State. We said they are starting in October. They are completing in October. They are busy with them. In some others, yes, I agree. We need to be straightforward and to be specific and talk the time frame. Thank you. We have noted the comments that members have made, which basically are appealing to us as the officials to speed up the pace of service delivery, especially in areas like the metro where we have a backlog of 410 informal settlements, which of course are intrinsic, you know, on an annual basis because settings of organization and so on. I just want to address myself to issues of SEM and corruption within the human settlement at the beginning, which basically impact on service delivery. First of all, I want to assure the members here that there's nothing left unattended in terms of addressing the issues that have been raised by Manasseh and basically those that have been raised by the AG, because both reports actually talk to irregular spending of 1.3 billion in the last financial year, of which about half of that emanates from housing. What we are doing is that we have set the tone at the top for non-compliance, that is no tolerance for non-compliance, both from the political side as well as administratively. And I think officials are responding quite positively to that, and that will be justified by the reduction, a drastic sort of reduction in the number of irregular spending that we are going to experience in the 2011-2012 financial year. Secondly, the disciplinary processes have been taken against all officials that are implicated in regular spending of whatever nature. Some of them have actually resigned, but we accepted resignation instead of going through a laborious process of disciplining those officials. But on the proviso that where there are chances of civil recovery, we'll pursue that. And two, where there are criminal charges, we'll also pursue those. The third one is that we have referred all the cases to the anti-corruption task team, which is currently investigating all those matters. And we are getting monthly updates in terms of progress. And it does appear that a lot of effort and resources have been put by the team to deal with the issues that we've raised. I also need to indicate that some of the housing concerns have been referred to the Special Investigation Unit, which is also busy trying to make sense of what has happened on some of the projects. The progress there is quite slow, but we do think that the resources that they are putting in place will have to accelerate the pace of investigation. We have gone through a process of regularization of the service providers, where we said for those projects which are nearing completion, we are regularized for those people to continue, but under very stringent sort of conditions, such as enrollment of projects with an vaccine, but also to up the pace in terms of the number of housing units that are delivering on a monthly basis. Previously, there were not set targets for how many houses they produce and so on. And there are tighter reporting lines around that. We have gone also to blacklist some of the companies. We have a blacklisted policy. So those companies that have perennially been found to be disregarding the policies and procedures of the municipality are now being blacklisted. And we hope to escalate the blacklist issues to also the National Treasury Register in that sector. But overall, we have found that the reduction in the number of houses that we are developing as a city
stem from a plethora of issues. One, silo and fragmented sort of planning and delivery. Our human settlement department used to go it alone, you know, and now we have said that is not on. So all the units, including engineering, you know, have a good capacity in terms of engineering, which we are now putting into use for housing and delivery, something that did not exist before. We are also very much looking into pipeline development. In the past, we've produced 16 to 20,000 units per annum. That was because there was a proper pipeline of projects that were put in place. Because we can't expect to have a budget this year and think that we'll spend the whole budget in one financial year. You need at least a 10-year pipeline for you to effectively make a dent on what you're doing. So that's why the issues of electrification are now on high on the agenda of the municipalities to try to make sure that even as we build houses, we don't really reinforce some of the affected special frameworks, but to try and develop within what you call the Blue Skies program. So here we try and densify along public transport routes and that are also economically active so that people are not just being built houses in dormitory sort of conditions. We are hoping that our own interface with the Department of Human Settlements, of Special and Provincial level, is going to assist in terms of the identification of you know, constraints on the project. And we are now setting early warning signals in terms of how we deal with those constraints on time, rather than to prolong how we deal with those issues. So all in all, I think we have a target this year of 8,500 houses to be delivered on the RTP side, which we hope we will be able to implement this financial year. And after that, the pace is likely to increase. Because both from myself and the mayor, our aim is that we must go back to the glory days where we build 20,000 units or even more per annum. And that would drastically reduce the number of informal settlements that we have. Thanks.
You have to write down all the questions that have been asked, all the answers. And I'm a bit worried. There is a sitting at home, and the members haven't been, and they are having their lunch. And I'm going to, if you really want to respond, please be specific, straight to the point, and take care of our time.
In fact, Chair and Honourable Members, we would not have a response. We were just humbly requesting. I know Chair has put down a directive by Monday.
Yes.
We're trying to make it justice to respond to this. Today is Wednesday, because we are wanting to pull all our teams on Monday to see if we can be given that we submit on Wednesday. It's a plea, it's a request. So looking at the time, I don't know. That was the request.
Chair?
Sure.
Chair?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I propose that we accept that because tomorrow is a holiday, it's a long weekend, then it won't be possible, maybe, for them to respond on Monday.
Water
is with regards to the districts, and districts, you know, can't control. They are municipalities, local municipalities and the like, don't have water, they're not water authorities. So you've got to go to the district to get water connections and baths and all of those things. And to get that kind of, they somehow, after we are really pushing for them to really delegate those funds back to the local municipalities, especially those that are aspiring metros, because big municipalities like quite rules and discard. Where we need to really, Newcastle, Ladysmith, they don't have any kind of delegation. And when we go to the district, you know, the priorities are towards development, and we can't blame them anything. So that's where now we've been pushing to even take the year that is underpinned to really unlock some of our projects. And we can even turn around this is there, but now it has been established at a provincial level as well, which is Water Affairs and ourselves, COPTA, and all of us. I'm sitting now in terms of cabinet very pronounced on that issue. Today we have to sit as one stakeholder and drive this initiative. So really we've been complaining all the institutions about this matter. So I just wanted to indicate that. But regarding UNT, which is a crucial issue that has helped us also to if not understand, because when one came in, the major issues was the monitoring and evaluation of performance of implementing areas. So when you go to the timeline for me as a chief operations officer is the major issue in any case. Also when you go to each and every contract, there is no problem that is attached. That's why now we've had even so much of firing happening for those then coming. For planning 6 months, let's turn around the system. So the timeline, even if I'm looking at the other way around, 6 months is 6 months. One doesn't have to go and tell us lots of stories, lots of legislative elements that have now facilitated and fast-tracking. As a result now, because people, and there's this confusion that I picked up for the chair, the former MEC was referring to developers having to bank projects, even the cleaner refers to the thing where a developer, implementing agent, will have more than four projects, and it's called banking them and only develop one. So that was the policy that the former MEC was saying that we're not encouraging now implementing agent to just a willingly kind of projects in all over the province. Because what they normally do is to just work on one, while the other is wait, and when it's completed on this one, you know, it's an appointment in municipality 2, 3, and 4. So that's what, so that statement of four contracts, you know, it's just a matter of things. The implementing agents have been really been so limited in principle to say, we can't just go around municipality setting up and saying that this is the update and do what they're supposed to do, shape the project. And as a department in our M&A, we know as a implementing agent in which municipality, and we go to the district mayors and the local mayors and put this thing right there on the board and say this project started in 2000 and it's not repeated now. And then for answers as well, they said to see, because the traffic process is then also playing into it. They are the ones who appoint. We don't appoint as a province. So this thing opened up lots of eyes for leadership, because they could see that we are the ones that have been holding back. And one has to go back because we are going to people who didn't know the job. So now the thing has turned around because now, if you look at our performance even now, the local municipalities themselves and the mayors are driving their process because they are aware that they appointed these people. But why should they self blame the province to say they are not performance when these people, through their SCM, have vetted those individuals? And that's why now there's better cooperation. And I would say, if we need to get the product, let's on the ground, we can go to any area. Mnyati. Go to Mnyati, and we'll see. Even if you are shocked, they're so far away from Zululand, you can find a better looking house with the water tank, everything that is there. And you know, and it's like, why can't you build the houses in heaven? Like, we have them here. But you say, you know, you need a person who's in the right area, and the same person that is sitting in every area. So, the quality is bad. That's why we need our own quality assurance, even before this transition car, because they do delay. But we need our own quality assurance to be there on the ground. When they start from the foundation, they are there. After the problem, our guys are there. If they want to demolish it before then to access the dam, we are demolishing. So that issue now goes to Fred. Let's say people to get our provincial parliament there. And if you look at the means, I would encourage the committee to look at those means as well. They said there were more houses than they can see. And now there are better houses in the whole of Zululand. People now are demanding maybe we make the benefit. Because people are very skeptical at first. But now they are saying that no, even in Zululand, better units are coming. And me, I see in that area especially, keep looking to it with that. It's a mighty former mining town.
a minute to do more geotech, because again, for mining towns, you can't just go there and do a normal geotech, because you never know what's happening underground. And that's why we had to really do thorough work, even on those lands that were given to us, and all of those kind of issues. So, yeah, if the chairman was still here, that area, in fact, we're concentrating on it, because the premier is also the chairperson of what we call Operation Supermassacre. So we are always there. Because the premier in that area, you'll find him for the whole week, just roaming from one municipality to one municipality. Even that's Kobane, we are waiting with Umeho Kaba to get it back, because it was given to a private NGO. And those people have told us, you can't keep on having that hotel in there. Just transfer whatever is there to the municipality, and you can now start working and everything in the municipality. Because that's what they wanted to save us. We said, no, the government don't just go and buy. You know, we can't just go buy any other station that we know that needs to be demolished. Because they wanted to make money. It was transfer. But the mayor has been very much useful to assist us to ensure that they get the chance of that property, and we can assist them to replicate a proper project. Because there are people who are residing there, and the conditions are not okay. So, yeah, in terms of those districts, you know, there are things that are really coming out positive. Especially in Zulian, one is quite sure because I'm also deployed to work in that district. And you can see my proper project coming out. But to put on the record, and the food that obviously, that this, even the university was quoting area where she doesn't think that we do go there. In fact, even the prima goes to those districts, Kalache, just to make sure that whatever that we do report to is also, if you can see, as we say, it's into the one amen.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've had a seconder already to the proposal that's discussed in writing. I want to say I support that. But we have got to have all the questions answered, and that we want something on the beneficiaries, your management of those, your needs registers, all of those. Please don't forget any of those details. And we will be back in KwaZulu-Natal, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you.